Hello. Is it? It's evening, right? Yeah, it's evening. Somewhere. How are you guys today?
Good.
Good. Good. Tonight. It's still today.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Everything's relevant.
I could say good morning and. You don't know if I'm just waking up or not.
That's right.
Right? I want to talk about God talking. God speaking to us. A lot of times I feel like we hear it. And especially if you go to a charismatic church, if you visit a charismatic church, you go to a charismatic church. And if you don't know what that means, the simplest form of putting it is a spirit-filled church. You'll hear something as, the Lord told me. Yeah. Or the Lord spoke to me. You hear that a lot. And you know, somebody who's new, like for me, when I first started coming to this church, and I've heard that, I thought it was kind of weird. Sorry, but I thought it was a little weird. And but then once I started experiencing it more, I understood it. And so, if we want to read John 10:27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." This is not some random guy. It's not me. I did have the red letters. If you guys know what the red letters means, it means Jesus. But I took off the red letters because it was hard to read on the purple. But this is a red letter section. So that means Jesus is saying this. The shepherd, the head shepherd, the head chief shepherd is what they call him. The sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. We're considered the sheep. So it's saying, you hear Jesus, and he knows us, he knows you, and we follow him. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I didn't know what I wanted to talk about today. I didn't know. And so I do what I always do, and I ask God. I asked them, what do you want me to teach on? And he goes, hearing my voice. Yeah, I'm hearing. What do you want me to teach on? Hear my voice. Yeah, what do you want? I kept going back and forth. I basically imagined God getting annoyed with me. Like, I don't know if you guys probably, that meme that, come on. And that's the main subject I want to focus on. A lot of people say that God only speaks to priests or pastors or people on a higher level. That's not right. That's bull. I'm not going to say the rest of it. In Acts 10, verse 34, it says, "So Peter opened his mouth, and he said, truly, I understand that God has no partiality. In other words, he has no favorites. God has no favorites. And if, I didn't put it on, but if you continue reading, it basically says, his favorites are the ones who follow his word, if you follow the next scripture. And in Numbers 22:28. I love this story. This account. It says, "Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and he said to that guy, What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" God even used a donkey to speak. A donkey. There's other words for donkeys too. So he could use us to speak to people. So there's just a few little scriptures to warm us up, get you laughing a little bit. But something that's very important before we even think about listening to God, before we even think about hearing the voice of God, there's something that we need to know. We need to know the language that God speaks. Yeah. And the language that God speaks is the Bible. The Bible is the language of God. God is not going to go against the Bible. He's not going to tell you anything that's going to go against what he said in his word. You need to read the Bible to understand what God is saying to you. You cannot listen to the Lord if you have not read the Bible. Example. Somebody explains to you something in a language you don't know. Let's say Chinese. Are you going to understand it if you've never even seen or heard the language? Are you going to understand Chinese if you haven't studied it?
No.
The same way, but if you study Chinese, you might understand it a little bit better. Same way.
Yeah.
Read the Bible, study the Bible, and you might understand what God is saying. And so, with that being said, moving forward, the number one way that God speaks to us is through the Bible. We'll be reading the Bible, we'll be reading it, and all of a sudden something jumps out at you. Not like literally, not like a hand comes and reaches out. If it does, you need to stop watching so many Halloween movies. And it doesn't matter how many times you've read that verse, that Bible, how many times you've read it, something else will jump out on us. Something else will stick out. It doesn't matter if we read that verse our whole life, there's still revelation that hasn't been discovered in that word. And that's where God is going to speak through us. And I can guarantee, as you guys heard right now, that the leadership in this church, it happens to us. It happens to everybody.
Yes.
Everybody, the ones who have been reading the Bible for the longest, even the ones that are just starting to read the Bible, it happens to every single one of us. The Holy Spirit, like, jumps out at us and gives us a revelation that we need. And that's God speaking to us through his word.
Amen.
The word was so important to God, was so important that he sent, if we read in John 1:14, it says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word became flesh. Jesus was the word. Without getting really weird and all technical and stuff like that, basically the word died for us. The word was so important to God that he made Jesus the word. Anytime Jesus spoke, anything he acted was the word of God. Anything Jesus did, anything he said, never went against the word of God. His whole life was the word of God. And how I'm saying that Jesus is the word, you know, you could find Jesus in every single book in the Bible. I made a list, so it's kind of long, so. In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. He's also the fire, flaming bush. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud and the fire. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's the judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's the redeemer. In Samuel, he's the prophet of the Lord. In In Kings and Chronicles, he's the reigning king, and he's the temple. In Ezra, he's the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken down walls. In Esther, Mordecai, his traits. In Job, he's the day spring on high. On Psalms, he's the Lord who is our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, he's the lover and the bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, in Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the Son of Man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's the bridegroom married to the black backslidden woman. In Joel, he's baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. In Amos, he's the burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the mighty savior. In Jonah, he's the forgiving God. In Micah, he's the messenger with the beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. You see, God's an avenger. Jesus is an avenger. In Habakkuk, he's the great evangelist crying for revival. In Zephaniah, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Haggai, he's the cleansing fountain. In Zechariah, he's a merciful father and the pierced son. In Malachi, he's the son of the righteous, rising with healing in his wings. And that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, well, obviously he's in the New Testament, right? It's all about Jesus. But in Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the miracle maker. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the ascended Lord. In Romans, he's the justifier. In the Corinthians, he's all over there. Just pick a chapter. But the gifts of the Spirit. In Galatians, he's the one who sets free. In Ephesians, he's the Christ of riches. In Philippians, he's the God who meets our every need. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead. In Thessalonians, he's the soon coming king. In the Timothys, he's the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's the faithful pastor and hope. Philemon, he's the friend that's closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood that washes away sins. In James, he's the great physician. In the Peter, he's the great shepherd. In the Johns, he's the everlasting love. In Jude, he's the one who came down with the 10,000 saints, our God, our Savior. In Revelation, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And that's just, I gave one example of each book, but there's tons more. We could be here for days. Just looking at through and what Jesus is in each single chapter, in each single book. So Jesus, God speaks to us through his word. Jesus is just rising out of the Bible. Or oozing out, I guess that would be a cooler word. It's like Jesus is oozing out of the Bible. Another way God speaks to us is when we talk to other believers. We've all heard that iron sharpens iron in Proverbs. In Romans 1, 11 and 12, it says, "For I long to see you, that I might impart to you some spiritual gifts to strengthen you. And that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." This is Paul sending a letter to the Romans. And he's saying that we need to encourage each other. I can't wait to be with you so we could encourage each other. And talking to believers is not the same as going to church. It's not. It's not that part. It's the coffee before the church service. It's the lunch after the church service. That's what the iron sharpens iron. Because right now, we're not really having a conversation. You're just listening to what I'm saying. Right? The iron sharpens iron is when both are having a conversation. And that is needed to grow as a Christian. And God speaks to us through that. When we get together, when you get together with a friend, with a believer, and start sharing what God has done for you, when you start sharing prayers that are answered, when you start sharing experiences, something just happens in your spirit that just starts getting excited and it gets refreshed. That's another way that God speaks to us, though, is through conversation with other believers. And you're not talking about gossip and who did what and how bad your job is right now. No, you're talking about what God has done in your life, encouraging each other. Because, come on, be real. Nobody gets encouraged by hearing how bad your job is. Another way, though, is nature. A lot of people see the mountains and they say, oh, how beautiful and stuff like that. But my thing is the most obvious one was, is the rainbow. It says it right there in the Bible, Genesis 9. It says, when the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all the flesh that's on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all the flesh on this earth. I think I missed the scripture. I think it was the next one. Is God saying that he's not going to flood the earth? He's not going to kill everybody on the earth and flood it anymore. That's what the rainbow is literally telling us. The rainbow is literally telling us the word of God. That he's not going to kill and flood the earth again. And so if that one piece of nature, I'm sure all the other pieces of nature can do something similar. This next one is a hard one, because it might go against everything we've ever thought. God speaks through us in rest, when we're in rest. In Psalms 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So be still and know that I am God. God speaks to us in our rest. Sometimes we get so caught up in our lives that we just go, and keep going until we have a meltdown or we burn out or lash out in anger. And that's because we don't have a rest. That we haven't had a Sabbath. And a lot of people say the Sabbath is only on Sunday. But if you think the day of rest is on Sunday, you've never volunteered in a church. Every once in a while, all of us, we need to stop and just be still. We need to just be and rest. Not with the TV on, not with your tablet on. No, just sit and rest. There's times where Lucy always makes fun of me that I just sit there. I just sit in the corner of the bed and I'm just sitting there doing nothing. She goes, why are you being a weirdo? At least turn on the lights. And we just sit there in silence, not really thinking about anything. Just, I guess it would be meditating, but going out for a walk and not being distracted, just you and God. We need that time of rest, with no distractions. And especially us in the leadership position, we feel like sometimes we need to keep the plate spinning. And we keep on spinning, and then something happens in our life, and we're still keep them spinning. But the thing is that if we keep on spinning the plates, we're eventually going to get tired, and the plates are going to fall, and they're going to break. It's okay to every once in a while to put down the plates and get refreshed. It's needed. Like, how many know that the Bible kind of shows our walk of faith like a race? Run the race before you, right? Yeah. They say it's not a sprint, right? That's a marathon. But the thing is, we're not called. I don't think it's said anywhere, if I remember correctly. It doesn't say anywhere there that we have to finish in first place. It says to finish the race. We are called to finish the race, not to see how long we could stay in the race. We are called to finish the race. And sometimes we may need to put down the plates, rest a bit, hear from the Lord, and then continue on. This next one is through action, which is quite the opposite of rest, right? This actually happened to me for a while. God, I felt like there was a moment of this period of time that I was not hearing from God. Like I didn't feel his presence. Every day I just felt spiritually dry. And then one time during my, we have like those fits with God, and we say, God, why are you so far away? Why can't I feel the presence like so-and-so? Why is it so? And then all of a sudden he's like, I told you to do something and you never did it. I was like, what? And I'm like, I couldn't remember what it was, and I asked him again. And I ended up going back to, God had given me a task to do. Something very simple, wasn't like big, it was just something that I had put off. And once I did that task, I felt the presence of the Lord again. I started hearing him again. And sometimes when we hear him when we're doing stuff that we're supposed to be doing. And it, like I said, it might sound like this one and the last one are like contradicting each other. But that in reality, they work together. And something that somebody once told me, and it's very important. If we're too busy to go to church, if we're too busy to read the Bible, if we're too busy to worship, if we're too busy to pray, then we're doing a lot more than what God had asked us. Sometimes we need to reevaluate what we're doing and say, did God actually want me to do that? One example I give to the youth is I guess we're close enough to the Christmas story. In Luke, close enough to Christmas that if it actually goes there we go. We've heard the Christmas story, right? I'm pretty sure anybody in the United States has heard the Christmas story. And we hear always about this, that, well, right here at the end, right, Lord, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Right, we hear that Mary was pregnant and she went to the inn so that she could be in there, and they didn't have room for her, and so she had to give birth to Jesus in a manger, right? But one thing we need to know is that we need to pay attention. Nowhere in there it says that they denied Mary because they hated her. Nowhere says they denied Mary because they hated Jesus. It says that there was no room for them in the inn. And that happens to us. Sometimes it's not that we hate Jesus. It's not that we purposely push away Jesus. Just sometimes we fill our hearts, we fill our lives with too much stuff that we don't leave room for Jesus. The inn represents us. And sometimes we let us be too busy and don't let Jesus in. So remember that if we are finding that we don't have time to pray, we don't have time to go to church, we don't have time to read the Bible, worship, pray, all those things, that we may need to reevaluate what we're doing in our lives because it's not what God called us to do. In Daniel, God spoke to Daniel in so many ways. But I'm going to focus on two, on dreams and visions. God spoke to Daniel through dreams and visions. And that's the same way he could speak to us. Because he's the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. He still speaks in dreams and visions. I think it's funny that he speaks in dreams because I think sometimes he waits for us to not be distracted, and that's the only time we're not distracted, when we're sleeping. That's pretty much all I have on that one. If you want to read more, it's in Daniel. God gives countless dreams and visions to Daniel, and he shows him things that are going to happen. And I don't want to say riddles, but like plans, I guess. Plans on, or hints on what to do. And God could speak through us that way. And probably the most practical, the one that you guys will probably hear the most, is that God speaks through us through sermons, through church service, through sermons, through praise and worship. It's when we feel like encouraged. It's when our spirits just connect to something. That's God talking to you. When you feel something in the upper stomach, when you feel it burning, that's a way God is speaking to you. Sometimes God speaks to us by just putting a thought in our head. Sometimes it's a string of words. Sometimes it's a scripture. The one that happens to me the most is the random thing that comes into your head. Like, you weren't thinking about anything, and all of a sudden, something comes into your mind. And I'm not talking about, like if penguins have knees type of random thought. It's more of a, suddenly you have a verse in your head that you haven't even thought about in a while. Or to buy somebody lunch. A lot of people call it a gut feeling. But that's the Holy Spirit impressing in us. That's how he speaks to us. In Hebrews 12, verse 24, It says, and then Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, uniting God and man, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. What I want to focus right here is right after Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, uniting God and man. Jesus made a way for us to be able to speak to the Lord, to hear the Lord. That's the new covenant that he made, the word, we are connected. And every single one of us is connected to the Lord. Every single one of us is connected to God. It's not just the pastors, it's just not the leadership, it's not the people with a status. It's every single person. That's who Jesus made a way for, every single person. And I want to encourage you to be open to the Holy Spirit. Be open to hear what God wants to speak. That he made a way for us, all of us, every single person, to enter the secret place, to enter the presence of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come here before you, Lord. And I thank you for your word, Lord, and for your presence, Lord. I thank you that you will begin to speak to us, Lord. That we will feel your voice, that we will fear your presence, Lord, and that every single one of us will keep a place open for you, Lord. Keep a place open for to hear from you, Lord. And that when we hear it, that we will hold on to it. That we will hold on to it. Lord, and I just thank you that your presence will come down into every single one of our lives, Lord, and just be there. Throughout the day, throughout the night, Lord, that your presence will be there. And I thank you, Lord, that you made a way for us to hear you, that you made a way for us to be with you, Lord. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.